What did Job do? Here's what it says he did. And then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, which is what they did in that period, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Come on now, how many of us would do that?
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Today is the conclusion of his introduction of his transition series. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. We're going to find out what was leading up to him falling on his face and worshiping God. And it wasn't something that any of us want to have happen in our lives. And that's why we're talking transitions. And today, when the transition in your life is something you did not want and it's painful, how are you to respond? You know, some of us, when we get into painful transitions, we want to hide. We want to deny that it's happening. We want to try to figure out how to get out of it or around it or over it or pass it off on someone else or blame someone else. Instead of looking it straight in the eye and asking the question, as I'm facing this painful transition in my life, am I going to allow it to discipline my life? Am I going to be disciplined by it? Because the scripture says those who God loves, he disciplines. And sometimes discipline isn't because you've done something wrong. It's not necessarily punishment. Just like with your kids, you discipline your kids because you want them to learn. Discipline comes from discipleship, the idea of learning and growing. And so today we want to be very encouraging to you in maybe a painful transition in your life. I'll take you to the teaching studio as we wrap up the introduction on this series and then go into some of the real-life transitions that people face in the days ahead. Just before we do, just a quick reminder that we're beginning the Intentional Love Marriage Conference series coming up March 24th in San Luis Obispo, California. My wife Donna and I are very excited about it. And you can find the information for that conference and upcoming conferences at theintentionallife.com, as well as a conference I'll be speaking at in Phoenix coming up in just a few days. Check that out. All right, let's begin this series or this day on the series Transitions. Here's Job. And listen to what happens. And it starts right in chapter 1. Now, there was a day, just another day in Job's life, when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. In other words, things were good. They were having wine and food and things were good and the cash flow was coming in and the business was growing and the family was healthy and all of those things. And the messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when Sabans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they killed the servants with the edge of the sword and I alone have escaped to tell you. Think, okay, all right, lost some servants, not good. Not good, right? While he was still speaking, another also came in and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now it's not really good. I mean, it's getting worse, right? He's thinking, okay, this is going to be a bad day. While he was still speaking, another also came in and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. At this point, he's going to lock the door, right? He's going to say, come on, you got to be kidding me. Is this like hidden camera, you know, kind of a day? While he was still speaking, another also came in and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now it's getting personal. Lost his servants, lost his camels, now his children are gone. Okay? Have you ever had a tragic announcement? Any of you? Have you had some of that phone call? Parents passed, this or whatever? And you go into kind of a state of shock. This guy's getting shock. He's getting major overload. What did Job do? Here's what it says he did. And then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, which is what they did in that period, and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Come on now. How many of us would do that? You'll be lashing out. You're going to be angry. And this is only the beginning. I'm not even going to read the rest of the story with the boils and everything else as he continues to go through this story. But the point is, in transition, here is an example of a guy who was in the morning like this, and by night he was like this. And I think we get the illustration that probably in our lives we're never going to have quite a Job-level story. In fact, have you ever told someone, boy, that sounds Job-like when you hear somebody's story? Man, it doesn't even compare with what this guy's going through. And I think what's critical to understand when we think about this is that Job, instead of running to the hills or whatever, he just chose to fall down and worship. I think there's a lesson there. If we can stop when we get these transitional moments that are not good in our life, you get an announcement that there's a death in a family, or you get an announcement that there's a pending divorce, someone is saying, I'm out of here, or you get an announcement that a child is rebelling, many times our first reaction is try to fix it. And he didn't even try to fix it. He just simply worshiped God. Boy, I don't know if I could do that, but I think that's a model of what we should be doing. To be able to fall down and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why this is happening. And it's okay. You may be angry that it's happening, but I'm going to trust you, even in the midst of whatever this is that's transitioning in my life right now. Because he knew that life would never be the same again. But he chose to take this process and trust God. Transition can also take time. Sometimes we think of transition, the stories we've given you were kind of quick. Happened today, 3 days, you're into a new stage. But sometimes transition can be a very long process. Some of you are still waiting for a promise. There's been a promise in Scripture that you've held on to for a long time, the transition into a better marriage. I can't tell you the number of people I've talked to over the years that say, I'm just trusting God that my marriage is going to get better. You know, that I'm trusting Him for this promise, and you're hanging on to it. And week after week, month after month, sometimes year after year, you don't see it. And as a result, it's easy to give up hope. But this thing of transitioning into a new stage can sometimes take a very long time.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from the Introduction for the Transition series. And he'll pick up right where he left off in just a moment. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes Dr. Randy's books, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, which, by the way, are autographed, the Intentional Living wristband, and his coaching CDs every month. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4. Thanks. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
It's a statement. Simple, yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire study. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners, just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
But this thing of transitioning into a new stage can sometimes take a very long time. And I was thinking of an example of that is back in the book of Genesis. where we see Noah. If you have your Bibles, you can go back to Genesis chapter 8, where, of course, Noah was given the instruction, what? To build the ark, right? And the scripture says it could be, what, 120 years until the flood. So did it take him 120 years to build the ark? Did some research. We all trust Ken Ham, right, the ark guy. And he said if you do the study, it's about 70 years during that 120 years for Noah to finish that ark. He gave Noah a promise. Your family will be saved. Build this ark. For 70 years, he's waiting for this major transition to occur. And he keeps building that ark. Year in, year out, year in, year out. Ridicule. Can you imagine the neighbors? Can you imagine what people were thinking? As he's building that ark for 70 years, he builds the ark. The flood comes. The whole world, all of humanity is destroyed except for his family. You talk about transition. 70 years, he's doing this. 120 years from start to finish. And then all of a sudden, the flood occurs. And all the water disperses. What's the first thing he did as a result of this transition? The scripture says that in Genesis 8:20, Noah built an altar to the Lord. He gets off the ark, and the first thing he does is build an altar and worship God. And I think as I look at this transition, and we're going to get into some of these, we're going to talk about what do you do when you're going through transition in retirement? What do you do when you transition from empty nest? What do you do when you transition from a marriage to not being married, or not being married to being married? How do you transition? What are practical things that we can learn? But I think today's lesson, as we begin this series, is to understand that transitions are inevitable. Transitions are going to be painful, some of them. Even the good ones can be disruptive. Some transitions are very minor. They kind of go through them every day. But in all of our lives, we can have transitions that alter the course of our lives. They change your mind. I'm not the same person today as I was 30, 40 years ago. I've been through enough transitions in my life not to think quite like I did then. Experiences kind of shape your life. But you know what? We can go in negative directions because we can look at other transitions. We can see Jonah's story where he chose in his transition to run from God, see? And we see other examples in Scripture when they faced an opportunity to transition in a healthy direction, they didn't. And so as we begin this series, my challenge to us is to be intentional in the process of transition, whatever it is, and whatever level of control you have, but ultimately to trust God in the process. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. History is a series of transitions, politically, with society, with culture. We're going through a transition in our country right now, and we don't like it. We don't like what we see in many ways. And we're concerned, we're confused. Things that are being addressed that need to be addressed, and other things that are being transitioned that are contrary to your will and word. Lord, help us to understand when there's external forces and internal forces, all of this, that ultimately we need to submit to you because we know that our lives are in your hands and ordered by you. Help us to be spiritually sensitive to knowing what you're doing in times of transition. Lord, I pray that we'll not get stuck. We could get stuck in these transitions. And there's people who are still stuck 30 years back in some transition they could never get through. And I pray that as followers of you, we'll see that your work is perfect in our lives and that we continue to be drawn close to you during these transitions. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Mm. All right, we're live back here in our Intentional Living studio, and that concludes the introduction to the Intentional Living series on transitions. And in the days ahead, we're going to start teaching some of the transitions that people go through, like retirement and empty nest and others, to see what God's Word teaches on that. Coming up on Monday, however, we're going to talk about singles and dating, and I hope you'll join us for that program coming up Monday. You know, the whole
ministry and mission of Intentional Living is here because of people who have caught the vision, people who are on this journey in their own lives, and they choose to make this a part of their giving to support what we do. Some giving $30 a month, others giving $100 a month, some giving $20 a month, some giving more and some giving less, but everybody involved in helping us carry on this mission and message here and around the world. Come and join us. I'd love to send you this entire series that we just concluded the introduction on transitions. And every month you'll receive my teaching on CD, plus a starter kit with two of my books autographed, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection. Here's how you can get started. Just go to the website, theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press number 4, talk to our staff. And I'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go to the phones. Mary's on the line. Mary, welcome to the program today.
Hello.
I appreciate your call. What have you learned about change in life, Mary?
Just that you have to change your attitude, and it's just up to you. It's a mind. It's definitely you've got to start with your mind.
But, well, what did you have to change your mind about?
My life, my worth. My story is it was perfect starting out. I had the white fence, Michigan home, two parents, went to church, believed in God, and still do. The difference is that back then, as I was growing up, I didn't really, I mean, I read it growing up, but not as an adult. When I was 18, we had moved out here to Arizona, actually earlier when I was 10. When I was 18, my parents ended up getting a divorce, living in Arizona, and no family around. I was the youngest of four. The other three had moved out of the house. My mom killed herself when I was 18. Oh, I graduated 10 weeks later from high school, moved around, you know, to Texas, D.C., basically looking for worth or love. And I was alone and ended up getting married, moved back to Arizona, had two children. One of my oldest, who I hope is listening to this radio station because I texted her earlier. We've had our differences, but I'll tell you what, a couple weekends ago she had some things to say to me that I've been saying to her all her life, which is about attitude and how you think of things and what you tell yourself. That marriage lasted about 3 years, but I had two children, and about 10 years later I got remarried and we had two children. We were married for 17 years. And he left and went back to his ex-wife with my son at the time, who was 15. My youngest daughter ended up pregnant within the last year. In November, she moved out, moved in with my husband's ex-wife.
So let me jump in for a minute, Mary. This is you've got a whole movie there in your life. How has your attitude made a difference? What have you done specifically to get your attitude right? Because that's the real message.
Read
change.
Bible.
So reading scripture.
Read the word. That's where it's at, and then apply it. It's not just reading it, because I've read it all of my life. And you have to try and apply it, and I'm not going to get it right, and I already know up front I'm not going to get it right, but I'm going to try.
Yeah. Well, listen, when we talk about Scripture, what I quoted a little bit ago from Ephesians chapter 4, you know, it says to us, you're talking about attitude. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by your bitterness or rage or anger. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you. All of that in three verses, starting in Ephesians 4:29. And we're talking attitude. Attitude, you know, one thing, Mary, I think you're communicating is that we have 100% control over attitude. You didn't have much control over all that junk that went on in your life, some, but not all. But we do have control 100% over our attitude in response to it. And that's a decision that we have to make. And when we don't, we lose. And so we really encourage people to have the right attitude. Mary, thank you for your call. I got others standing by. We'll be praying for you, but thanks for reminding us of the power of attitude, okay?
Thank you.
All right, appreciate your call today. Virginia is on the line. Virginia, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you today?
Good. Doing okay, except for this throat thing, my voice thing not working, but other than that, doing okay. Thanks. What about change? What have you learned?
Well, honestly, I believe I had change in my life about a year ago. And to make a long story short, I was very ill back in 2004-05 with respiratory problems and was almost at the point of going on oxygen. I begged the Lord to just give me my health back. And then as soon as I found out that I had recovered from all of that and that the Lord had healed my body, he blessed me with my third child at 41, which was a total blessing because we got our son. And so we have two daughters and a son. And then the Lord also opened up many other blessings. He opened up blessings so that I would be able to continue working. And he put me in an area that I never thought I would ever be in, which was a preschool teacher. And that was a blessing in itself because I ran into many beautiful children and children that were able to see the Lord through me in teaching and doing funny, silly things in the classroom. I enjoyed every single bit of that. And then back about a year ago, I was involved in a car accident, and I could no longer go forth with my ministry that the Lord had given to me because I was in so much pain. And so what happened was I had to resign from my position at my job. And so therefore, I spent a lot of time at home reading my Bible, building my strength up even that much more and asking the Lord why. Of course, you ask why. Why did this happen to me? You know, but I just praise the Lord now because it was very difficult at the time. And of course, you know that any preschool teacher gets very attached to their students, you know, and they're like your second set of children, basically.
And I think you said, let me just jump in for a minute because I think you said something I want to just camp on for a minute at the time. And so many of us, when we look retrospectively, we look back upon a time of change in our life. At the time, we didn't understand or we were caught up in the emotionality of the experience. And then later when we look back, we see the things that we overreacted or underreacted to. We get a little clearer picture of what was going on and how God was using that to frame us and rebuild us and move us to where we are today. But we're in the middle of the storm. We're just hanging on. When we're in the middle of change, we're just trying to make sense of it. And I think it's really important to understand that even Scripture speaks to this, to you, Virginia, and others listening. Where in Ecclesiastes 3, it says a time and a season for every activity. Solomon goes on to say that what does the worker gain by all of his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men, and this is key, than to be happy and do good while they live. And then he sums it all up, this book of real reflection. It's certainly a book of philosophy of life. At the end of this whole thing in Ecclesiastes, Solomon puts it this way. I've heard everything, and here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. And so in the midst of change, wow, we want to try to get control back, don't we? And we realize we have little. We try to make things all better, and we realize that we can't make things all better. That ultimately, this is a time of change, good or bad, to realize that we're dependent totally upon God. I believe that. If you've been through enough rough changes in your life, you know it as well. That's what change is all about.
My name is Angela, and my one thing is to put God back in the center of my life.
My name is Aaron, and my one thing is to change my attitude, start speaking life into my family, be more encouraging, stop the criticism.
Pray together.
My name is James Edgar, and my one thing is to work really hard at listening without speaking first, actually trying to hear what it is that she's saying to me, and not have all the answers without hearing the question.
I got it. Hey, listen, those are folks who, on the way out of an Intentional Love Marriage Conference, stopped by the microphone and just said, hey, here is my one thing. Here's what's unique at our conferences. You know, you go to a conference and you get a workbook and you fill it out, and we give you a workbook and things you can fill in and you know, take notes and so on. But you take it home, put it in a drawer, and then you don't think about it again. And we challenge you to leave with one thing for your life, one thing for your marriage for the next 30 days. Very practical. That's intentional living. We're excited about it. And you know, I'm passionate about this new series we're beginning this year. We start in San Luis Obispo March 24th, and then I'm going to be in Michigan and Arizona and other places around the country we'll be talking about. But the first one up is San Luis Obispo March 24th, Agape Church. If you haven't checked it out, I hope you will along the Central Coast there. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, click on the events, find the conferences there at theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I'd like to thank you for your show, Intentional Living. It has changed my life drastically.
And I just wanted to thank you so much for taking my call that day, because it made all the difference to me.
And if it wasn't for your program, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to lose it, I don't believe I'd still be married.
I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was. I used to be mad at you, a little on the hurt side too, but I'm not who I was. I was thinking maybe I should let you know that I am not the same, but I never did forget your name. Hello.
I just can't begin to tell you how your program, Intentional Living, has changed my life.
I think really overwhelmed ever since I started to listen to your message, how my life has changed as well as my children. I thank you so much.
And I just praise God every day.
The thing I find most amazing, an amazing grace, is the chance to give it out. Maybe that's what love is all about. I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was.
Changes. You know, that's transition, isn't it? That's an example. You're not who you were in the past, and we're changing every day. And it's exciting to see what God does in our lives. Coming up on Monday, singles and dating. We're going to continue some more on transitions as we go through some of the transitions in life in the teaching ahead. And members, watch for that. It comes to you on CD. If you miss any of the programs, it comes to you on CD and all packaged of the entire teaching. If you're not a member, come and join us. Listen, we've got a brand new member kit. If you become a member today, I'm going to send you our books, The Power of One Thing, How It Can Radically Change Your Life. It's our gift to you. We'll sign it. I'll sign it and get it to you, autograph it. And then Star for Affection, we'll autograph that book. Two books and a teaching coming your way, along with the wristband, the One Thing wristband that I wear every day. Hope you will too. What's one thing that could make a difference in your life? Our gift to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4, okay? Come and join us. I'd love to have you be a part of the team. Also, a reminder, not this Saturday, but a week from tomorrow, the 18th, I get a chance to speak at Calvary Community Church in Phoenix for the Hope Not Shame Conference, along with Cynthia Hyatt. It'll be a great day. I hope you check it out. If you're in Phoenix, you're looking for a conference to focus on growing spiritually, check it out. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.